Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And I am always riding with my co-pilot, Lori Miller. Lori, let them know I'm not alone tonight.
Thank you, Ted. No, Ted is not alone. This is Lori Miller of LGC Interior Design, and we're bringing you the best of podcasts and all the questions you need to know and all your answers answered. So tonight we have a special guest, and I'm going to let Ted introduce her. Thank you, Ted.
Sure. You're welcome. And so just for our audience, the Creative Alchemist, you know, we were created out of a partnership between Lori and I and, you know, a huge focus on business and creativity, hence the word Creative Alchemist and transformation. And when we look at what our planet, us, all countries are going through with this pandemic, we may be transformed in many ways that we just don't see coming. We just didn't see this coming, let's say, 6 months ago, and here we are dealing with things that we've never had to deal with. So lots of things are transforming, and including how we live in our own homes and how our homes are dealt with and even buying and selling. So tonight we're actually going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about whether or not this is a good time to buy or sell real estate. And, you know, we're also going to dive into what will happen to real estate in this COVID-19 environment. It may not be as simple as everyone thinks, and there may be some huge opportunities. Lori and I have had shows where we've talked about some of the opportunities of transferring skills and opportunities, hidden opportunities in a chaotic environment. So for this show, as we've done in the past, we've had guests, and we have a very, very brilliant woman who has an enormous amount of expertise in real estate. She's not what you would say is a real estate agent. She's actually a broker. And 12 years in real estate and 5 years in management consulting also, a graduate of Boston University. And she's actually a native of New York, so she didn't move here and try to figure out New York. This is her home. And she's done from condos to rentals, residential to commercial, and everything in between. She's experienced, and her skills and knowledge will no question get you the kind of results that you want. She has a really good understanding of real estate transactions, from condos to co-ops to townhouse sales and rentals. In her words, if she wasn't doing this, she'd be a hostage negotiator. So she's the kind of real estate agent that you'd want on your side negotiating on your behalf. So, Tony, why don't you say hello and let everyone know you're here with us to join us in this conversation.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here this evening with you all.
So thank you. Thank you for joining us and being a guest on the show. So you are from New York, so why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you, where you're from originally. I'm going to ask you, well, you know what, I'll let you tell that first, and then I'll ask my question.
Well, I'm from New York. I was born and raised in Queens, which I spent most of my young years there into high school. Then I graduated and went on to Boston University and spent some time in Boston, and then came back to New York working in retail as a buyer at first, and then I transitioned over into sales. I have a background in corporate America where I worked in technology sales, and then I transitioned into consulting. I went up the corporate ladder, senior level management, and then I got into the world of real estate because I felt that I have managed groups, I have managed divisions, I've made millions of dollars for corporations. I'm going to do it for myself. So I left corporate America in 2008, and I never looked back. It was the best move that I ever made. And I came into real estate at a time that's kind of similar to now.
Right.
It was a recession in 2008. I got into it in the early part, February of 2008. And, you know, we were in that. We didn't see a turn to about 2012, where it was just it was a rough market. So that recession, it was tough. But today it feels a little different, as you know, because we're dealing with a global pandemic all throughout. So, but still, I feel that business will come back, and you know, it's just an interesting time, and we're going to have to look at this as a time to create some real opportunities for doing things differently, because we definitely have to look at new ways of doing real estate in this COVID type of environment that we're in right now.
Really good. Well said. So when you went into real estate in 2008, had things already started to decline, or you just happened, it was just a matter of timing?
I think things had already were declining. I didn't even know. I came out from corporate America. I went through the training program, and it was just like I had no idea. I just came out hitting the ground running, because failure is just not, it's just not an option for me. So
that was a gutsy, very bold move to do at that time, to actually go into real estate.
Yeah, but I came in prepared, because I don't think anyone should get into real estate thinking that they're going to be the million-dollar lister. I mean, the TV is TV.
Right.
We call it reality, but it's not. You know, the real deal is you have to come prepared. So I came in with savings to carry myself for, say, 6 months, because I believe that's your startup time. I think everybody, whatever job you get into, you should have a 3 month, 6 year, 1 year outlook, and even going further, what you need to do to become successful, and the activities need to match what earnings that you want. How many cold calls, how many in-person, how many listings, rentals, sales, it all translates into a dollar. So I came in with a game plan to get started to be successful. So my first year, I was rookie on the move. I've exceeded the expectations of a first-year agent coming in, and I was very successful. And each year, consecutively, double, all the way up. I'm part of the multi-million-dollar club year after year since 2008. So it's just been a great move. This is the first bump that I've had in my 12 years in real estate.
Well, and that's interesting, because you're in the top 1% of 47,000 agents in Corcoran. I mean, that's pretty damn good. I mean, that's beyond pretty good.
That's beyond pretty damn good.
Yeah. So kudos to you for that. I mean,
Thank you.
I guess what you're saying, and the kind of effort and work, that commitment that you put into it, you learned that, right, to be there, to be in the top 1%. So extraordinary on your part. Without question, great to have you here, to have a top performer, to have this conversation. So
I think when you love what you do it well. You don't go into it like I've lost my job in corporate America and this is, I'm going to do this in the meantime. I believe the meantime is just that. It's very, very mean. It's not nice. You have to come in with a love, and this is what you want to do. And I get up every day without an alarm clock. It's an internal clock that wakes you up, because I want to help people. I want to house America, you know, one person at a time, in homelessness, whatever. You know, I'm really charged, whether it's a rental for $2,000 or a rental for $25,000 a month, or a sale for $500,000, or that one for $10 million. Every customer gets exceptional experience with my team.
Excellent. And and you have a team of your own, correct?
Yes. I work with four other agents that assist me with my open house, showing with customers, some of the administrative work. Yes, I have a team of people.
Okay. And did you work on Wall Street before in corporate America?
I worked at the stock exchange in the past on the trading floor, but coming out of that, I went into retail.
So let me ask you, do you think working on the trade – or how do you think working on the trading floor helps differentiate you from those 47,000 brokers that puts you at number one?
I think it's all –
and the number one, the top 1%. Sorry. I mean, is my question clear? I should make sure first.
No, I just think that everything you do along the way prepares you for where you are today. All the skills, working in operations management at Hewlett-Packard, working, you know, at Pitney Bowes, at Xerox as a consultant, everything I did along the way helped me get to where I am today. The marketing skills, the finance skills, the management skills, because you're, in essence, you're running your own business.
Right, right. So, Lori, I know you have a lot of questions, so I'm just going to ask one and take a step back. You said that things seem a little different from 2008, so is that good for someone who's buying or selling, and what are the differences that you see between now and 2008?
Right now, with what's going on in real estate, there's people out there. It seemed like when we started February, the market was doing well. No one expected in March that this would happen and Cuomo and the orders that would come down. It's totally different because you can't operate if you are a real estate person. If you listen to the governor, any services, this is considered non-essential at this time. All my life I thought real estate was essential. We spoke about this before. You look at Maslow and the hierarchy of needs, food,
right,
shelter, clothing, water. It's like the most basic thing. I can't go out to my job if I didn't have a warm, nice, secure place to sleep the night before. I can't
right.
go to work if I'm not clothed and naked. But this was deemed non-essential. So it's really hard. So you have to operate creatively. And we have to just now start doing virtual tours if someone's interested
okay.
in a place. So
right.
you can't physically walk into someone's house. At the beginning of this, before we knew it was at the height, we were preparing our customers and talking about the proper protocol. If I had to show your house, because it was kind of like something's going on, but we don't know what's really going on, but we're going to wash our hands and we're going to take off our shoes, or we're going to wear shoe booties, and then everyone's going to have on, you know, gloves. It progressively got worse to the point that on the 15th, our operation shut down, and I think it was like the 23rd when the message said, real estate agents, no more showings, no more face-to-face meetings, no more open houses, and you can't advertise an open house. So at this point,
oh, wow.
we're doing everything virtual. So it's opening
okay.
up a market for other people in technology that, you know, videographers that go in and do filming, but then you have to say, how are you going to do that? If it's a house that already has people that are living there, you wouldn't be so open to letting someone come into your house to do a video tour. You know, if it's something that's staged, that's a possibility there that can happen. So for some people that have listings that aren't occupied, and they might maybe, you know, staged, and you've had your filming done, that's how we're showing property and taking people through that way. Mm-hmm. I find it works easier when it's a rental. But when you're talking about buying a home, you want to see the
light.
You want to see the views. You want to feel it. You want to touch it. And especially, let's even talk about multi-million-dollar homes. In Manhattan, where people are selling homes for $15, $30, $60 million, it's kind of hard to do that from just a video. That would pique my interest, but I still would want to go in and see it. So unless you're an investor looking to place some money somewhere, doesn't matter, shelter for some coins, it's really a hard thing to do for someone to come and say, I want to buy this sight unseen. I think that will be a challenge. Rentals, we've shown people videos. They looked at it. We have disclaimers that you can sign, you know, after the fact if you didn't, you know, see it, to protect ourselves as well. But people have gone ahead and they secured a rental unit. But even at the beginning of doing that, they always wanted to come in and see it. So
right,
the trick becomes, how do you arrange that access without you violating, or not violating, but without you going against what was said in the orders that we're not to show? Do you get the owner to open the door? Do you get the super to open the door? It's empty, so it's kind of hard. And now a lot of real estate agents are looking at compensation, which has never been before. We're independent contractors. Never in my life would think unemployment insurance. So you have to be careful, because no one wants to, if you are going to collect any type of benefits, you can't be working.
Right.
So, and if you do, maybe you log the hours that you called some customers on the phone, you followed up, you touch base. As long as it stays within reason and below that it doesn't void your benefits, I'm sure some agents will do that as well. So it is a challenging time. Am I going to say that no one's going to buy? For some people, this is a great opportunity, because they're thinking, maybe at this time I can strike a deal. Sellers, you know what how New York real estate is and the prices. Is this a good time to do that? For some people, but the interest rates are historically, they're very low. 3 weeks ago, people, my counterparts in finance were flooded when the interest rate was like it. One guy called me, he said, I'm fucking practically buy this for nothing. You know, someone offered me like 2.9%, like, I have to do this.
Wow.
So with rates like that, and what a difference 3 weeks made. Because I had a deal going in contract for $1.5 million. I was selling that same person's house for $1.2 million. Everything was looking good. And then this happened, and it made someone kind of look, even though that the rates are great, you just have that uncertainty if you don't know what tomorrow's going to be. And then all
right.
of a sudden, the buyers start backing out of some deals. Well, they don't know if they're going to have a job. They don't know what the future is going to be. So some buyers backed out. The deals that are going forward are the ones that are already in the pike, that signed
mm-hmm.
contract,
mm-hmm.
and they're closing this quarter. So our legal partners have new ways of doing closings that everyone doesn't have to be at the table together. To get things notarized or video, power of attorney for buyers who are not going to be present, but the lawyers are making it happen. Deals are closing for things that have been in the pike. So a lot of inventory that would normally come on the market in the beginning of the spring season, we're seeing it's a downturn right now, considerably, because people are waiting to see what's going to happen before they place their house on the market.
Do you want to ask her something, Lori? I know Lori has
a lot of questions.
More intimate relationship with real estate.
So, yeah, I have a lot of questions, but we'll stay on topic with, you know, being essential or non-essential. Now, I know last week Governor Cuomo had indicated that realtors are essential, and everybody was up in arms because now it's like you weren't essential, you are essential. And then how do you go into people's homes when, you know, it's really may or may not be safe? So I'm wondering if he rescinded that, if you know, or how people are dealing with that, or how your team is dealing with that.
I think that was rescinded. I think that was with the National Association of Real Estate. Here's an update that I have right now from the Real Estate Board of New York. Executive Order 202.6, paragraph 14, amended April 9, 2020. Today, the New York State Empire State Development Organization added real estate service to the list of essential services with extensive restrictions. The amended guidelines to executive order states the real estate services shall be conducted remotely for all transactions, including but not limited to title searches, appraisals, permitting, inspections, and recordation, legal, financial, and other services necessary to complete a transfer of real property provided. However, that any services and parts therein may be conducted in person only to the extent legally necessary and in accordance with the appropriate social distancing and cleaning, disinfecting protocols, and nothing within this provision should be construed to allow brokerage and branch offices to remain open to the general public, i.e., not clients. Because REBNY continues to believe that the safety health of New Yorkers are paramount, we maintain that stay at home does not mean that all business stops. Closing should continue to take place virtually as much as possible. Brokerage and branch offices should remain closed for the foreseeable future. Agents should stay home and do as much work as possible virtually to keep our economic engine running. This includes listing properties, conducting virtual showings, and using technology to communicate with clients and the various parties to facilitate current and future transactions. Agents should not engage in any person real estate activities such as going to the office, open houses, walkthroughs, or showings. In-person showings are not considered legally necessary. That came down to that.
Wow.
And
a lot of people interpreted wrong because I had appraisers, you know, call me. You know, people send out newsletters. Some of my home inspectors, great news, just heard down from New York State, you know, real estate, that this is this, and we're back in business. And I'm like, I said, I don't know if you're interpreting that quite right. I don't think that we're back in business. And even if we were back in business, you have to think about the safety of yourself and also your clients and how they're feeling.
Right.
So at this time, people are still doing business, but you need to be really tactful about it because everybody is not dealing with this the same way. So you want to be, you know, at this time, educating people is a good time to educate people. I think it's a good time to, for buyers to get ready for when we do come out of this, to have your credit score right, to have spoken to a bank or a loan officer about, you know, financing if you're looking to buy and doing all the things to get to prepared when you're ready to buy. A lot of buyers are, some people are invested in the stock market, so you have to say, what effect does that have? A lot of money that you had, the stock market hasn't been performing very well. There's a lot of losses there, and that's some of the money people are going to use to buy their houses.
Right.
You see? So unless it's like your cash or you're ready to go, then you can probably take advantage of things out there. Like if I was a developer, I would look at properties, fixer-uppers, sales, things of that nature. Doesn't care what they are on the inside. I'm going to convert it into something totally different. That's a great time. I'd be scooping up properties left and right if it's out there, of course. So there's always a silver lining. I mean, it's not all like doom and gloom. It's a good time, but how are you prepared to buy that property, and can you do that within these guidelines? You have to ask yourself.
Hey,
right.
So, you
is
know,
that virtual
you,
tour enough for you at this time?
Right. You're making some good points, and sometimes people have questions, so I want to let everyone know if you want to call in and ask Tony or either or any of us questions, the number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. So if anyone has any questions about real estate, whether you're a buyer or seller or an investor, as you were just laying out, Tony. Loria, I know you have some more questions. So
I do. And we talked about, you know, buying as, you know, sort of an investment, or, you know, that would be a great time is after this and getting your paperwork in order. But I know on my end, we have a lot of sellers that, you know, either they were in construction and, you know, they are flipping houses and we've been in the middle of staging them and then we had to be pulled off the properties. So what do you suggest for the homeowners who are getting ready to sell? I know for me, we've been telling them, listen, you know, now's a good time to clean out, to organize, to go through your things, to kind of pare down, because that certainly helps us in the staging end and in the buying end. But, you know, as a realtor, what would you advise people who are either in the middle of selling or who are thinking about it beforehand?
I think that's a great idea, Lori, to start. You go do a checklist of getting your house prepared for selling. Little minor repairs that can, you know, you need to take place, the caulking, nothing major, but painting, things that you can do on your own in the privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you with that said. Those are things that I would do at this time. But as far as getting ready to say, okay, let's just go and let's just take a chance and put it out there, no one's clocking days on the market at this point on Street Easy. I think they suspended it. But it's just, to me, I would tell sellers to just, you know, hold off at this time.
Right.
But just be on part with the preparation phase, as you said.
Right. Now, I guess part of that preparation phase, if you're selling a home, is there any paperwork that you need to have in order, or any titles, or making sure things are clear, or appraisals? Because I know, like, if you're selling your car, you have to have your title. You have to have certain things. So I would assume that now would be a good time to get, you know, those things closed off as well.
Right. I mean, but before we go into a home, we do our little, you give us an address, we'll do a backdrop, make sure that this is your home and you're not selling your brother's house or anything like that. So we're going to assume that's done.
Okay.
But
yes.
To me, it's just basically getting your home ready for market. And then I would start working currently now on the marketing aspects. So on our end, as far as like the write-up, you know, how we're going to release it to the public, I mean, some people are working on things like coming soon. I mean, if you can go in there and take a picture or do something like that, these are the type of activities that I would recommend that people do at this time. It's kind of like that pre-marketing work.
Right.
Like
as
pre,
I said,
pre-launch.
Our hands are tied as far, Lori, as how much can we do. Because I can
right.
do the write-up and I can do pre-marketing, but where are my pictures? Where are my floor plans? See, these are the things that you need in order to release
right.
something to market, and that's missing at this time.
Right. And title searches, are they done virtually, or is there legwork behind the scenes?
It's behind the scenes. Your lawyers are doing that. They usually say that toward the end.
Okay. Excellent. And, I mean, as far as real estate, you know, I think we've pretty much covered anything. Is there anything you want to add before I go off topic and into a little bit about something you said earlier? So I don't want to change topics unless, you know, we're pretty clear.
No, I think, like, with real estate, I think right now I'm seeing more movement to me in the rental side of the spectrum, like with rentals.
Mm-hmm.
For people that, you know, have to, for whatever reason,
right.
there's always going to be some type of movement. But I think when we get out of this, people are going to really be reevaluating what their needs are. Now that you spend so much time in your house, do we need a little bit more space? Maybe right now I'm in a big multi-unit building in the city, and after being here, they close down the gym, they close down the roof deck, they close down this. Your thoughts may be when this is over, I think I'm looking more so to go out to a single-family home in Long Island. I think where we've
right.
done a lot of activity is with the Hamptons, because there's a lot of people in Manhattan who've come out of the city. So summer started a little early here with the rental season that's going to, you know, run through Labor Day. And I think
right.
the Hamptons have seen an uptick in activity, and especially with summer rentals coming earlier than usual.
Right. Yeah, I've definitely heard that as well from, you know, a lot of the realtors in the Hamptons and people I know who own their homes out there. You know, they're saying that there's an influx, which is, you know,
yes,
now would certainly not be a time for that yet.
So, Tony, are rental prices going up because of that, or are they remaining flat?
I think rental people are being a little aggressive. I mean, I've heard stories that people are coming out and offering you money. I know you. Some agents say that they were selling a home and someone offered money to just rent the home at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a few months, so things like that. So I think that the activity out here has really improved in terms of the rental market just coming on earlier.
And have the prices, rent, are they going up because of that or are they remaining flat?
I think in some cases there's a premium being placed, but for the most part the pricing is what it is.
Okay.
Mm. And they're allowed to move into rentals now?
I mean, if you're moving into someone's summer home, they're not there. Like, that's not a problem.
Right, okay.
I was talking earlier about, like, some co-op buildings you have to check. Like, say, if you're buying a co-op, you have to check with the legal team of the co-op. Are they allowing people to come in the apartment? Because I'm closing on a co-op next month or the end of the month. And my buyer's concern is, and his lawyer's concern was, are they allowing move-ins? Because some buildings aren't, but this particular building is. The apartment he's moving in hasn't been occupied. It's been empty for several months. So it's not a problem.
Right, so it's a case-by-case scenario.
Yeah, it's a case-by-case scenario. And other people are closing on rentals in Brooklyn, Queens. I have my counterparts that do virtual tours. Most of these places were empty before. Because also the person moving in the building, they need to feel a comfort level too.
Right.
Because I have clients that have small children. I have a young man who has a one-year-old, and he's like, I'd rather just wait to like June. Or even if I move in, is it okay if I move in and let my stuff sit in the apartment for 2 weeks and then I'll come in after?
Right.
You know, requests like that, because people are looking out for their safety. And we can tell them the place was professionally clean. You know, we had a crew come in and sterilize and da-da-da. But it's just what's going on today. It's so many uncertainties. You don't know. So everyone is just being more safe. You know, they're being more precautious and safe. I would do the same thing, too, if I was a renter or a buyer.
Right. Absolutely. I would also. Ted, any questions before I veer off?
I did. I kind of let it go.
You lost your thought.
I lost my thought. I was going to ask about new construction. Can you sell new construction, or do you think the limits? So if it's a brand new townhouse that's built, can you show that?
There's no showings. It's virtual showings. But, yeah, you can show it virtually.
So that might be easier to sell new construction.
Well, you're saying it in kind of like, because it's empty, can I walk in there?
Right.
Remember I said no showing, so it's still virtual.
Wow. That's
interesting.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the big developers, I see it. You want to set up a time for a virtual tour. You know, with the technology, people are sending out e-blasts. You know, come take a look at, you know, 11 Hoyt, or come take a look at, you know, but it's a virtual tour.
Wow.
Right.
So lots of restrictions. Yeah. Okay. That was it. That was all I wanted to ask.
So you said something that kind of piqued my interest, and as a designer, as a business program here, that what we offer, you said that when you were switching careers, you had a six-month saving before you actually decided to step into real estate, and then you had a 12-month plan. And, for designers, I don't often hear that, and I think people think that you can just open a business, whether it's design or not, and just blindly go in and say, okay, you know, I can just start my business and I'll have 1 or 2 months of security behind me. So you also have that management consulting background. So could you, I guess, talk a little bit more about that 6 month, 12 month plan, or how people can kind of gauge or make that assessment of, okay, I'm going to do 3 cold calls and what that cold call kind of looks like? Because I think even people who want to go into real estate might not even be thinking about those things. They kind of sit behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, I think when you come into real estate, go ahead. Go ahead, Laurie.
Oh, no, you know, people just think that they can sit, you know, in the office and the leads are just going to come to them, you know, because maybe it's an up system or, you know, and I think that was really interesting that you just kind of mentioned it and planned that out, which is, I'm sure, partly attributing, you know, to your success, not to mention all the other qualities that you possess.
Yeah, I think when I was looking at coming into real estate, I chose Corcoran because the name, the breadth, the reach, the brand, and plus it's corporate. So from where I was coming from, I did my research first on what type of company that I want to work for, what real estate firm that I want to hold my license, first of all. So you can meet with managing directors in different firms and just set up an appointment, kind of find out how their culture is and if there's a match. Mm-hmm. I did that prior. I was talking to the managing director in the summer, already interviewing, knowing that I wasn't going to come on board until, say, February. Because I was
right.
in corporate America, and if you know corporate America, when the bonuses come out, it's around that time.
Right.
I was not going to leave until my payout. I mean, you have to really plan what you're going to do. And then you have to look at your expenses monthly. Your mortgage or your rent or your gas, living expenses. And I think that you need to have that. So you don't feel like you're so eager or you're rushed, because it's gonna come across to me, just in my mind, with your customers, like trying to shove things down their throat. Real estate, when someone buys a piece of real estate, you have to love it. I know you're called a salesperson, and there's sales skills involved in that, but people know. They know when they're getting a home, when they walk in, what's it. So that selling is not like selling a car. You're a real estate agent, you're a psychiatrist, you're so many things on any given day. Yeah, you wear a lot of hats, and don't be surprised if somebody calls you and the phone rings and it's like 11 o'clock at night. Don't get it confused. It's not a booty call. It's your customer who's freaking out because they're wondering, should they go through with this closing? Or they're wondering if this is da-da-da, and you're walking them off the ledge and through things. You need to know a little bit about financing, the mortgage aspect. You need to know about the legal aspect, and you need to know your job, too, because remember, selling a house is putting together the right team. Powerful lawyer, someone really creative with financing, and, of course, the broker who's going to navigate and steer the ship and make sure you get to your desired state. So getting back to just coming into having that money, it just alleviates just so many things, and it helps you make just right decisions. Because I've sat next to people, we all started in the same training class, but some people are a little pressed for money or running out, or I don't think I'm going to make it, and dropping out. You need the time, because there's going to be a curve.
Right.
And you're learning, and you have to say, how am I going to do that? For me, I started with rentals and cutting my teeth and understanding just the interaction with clients and learning, you know, conducting other people's open houses, traveling with someone possibly when they're doing a pitch, or, you know, asking the managing director to come out with me on my pitch and learn and soak up as much knowledge that you know what makes your company number one. You too know what attributes do you have that you can pull over into real estate, because when you're new, what do you have under your belt? You're new. Have you sold anything?
Right.
You want me to give you my,
right,
you know, $3 million house and you're new? You have to be
right,
able to pull on. Well, let me tell you who I was before I came here. Let me tell you some of the skills that I've done. And you will find out that what you bring from your past, you can hone and you can apply it here. And that's what I did really good at with my customers.
Right.
Because I've had other brokers try to throw me under the bus. Oh, I know Tony Mark. Yeah, she just started. That's a deal. She just started.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And a client,
wow,
would say, oh, they said that you just started. But people could see beyond that. But I picked you because you seemed like you had, like, this enthusiasm. You were a go-getter. You're this. I'm going to take my chance with you because I think,
right,
you're hungry. You know, so, you know, sellers have their own reason. But in the end, people do business with people that they like. People do business.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. So,
yeah.
I mean, I just say if you're going to come into this, come in, don't just go in and you don't have a plan. Know how many sales that you have to make. Like, have an end result. I want to make X amount at the end of the year. How does that relate to transactions that you need to do at the percentage that you're paid, at the split you may be sharing with your agency? You need to work that out on a piece of paper, and that's when math is really, really important for those who paid attention in math class.
Right.
You need to break that down because it's really important. I can say how many rentals I did that year and how many sales I did that year, and it equated to me making X amount, and it was best year ever. But I did all the activity, and I said, then how many sales calls, how many mailers do I have to put out in a given month, or postcards, because you're trying to get your name out there, but you should always start like anything, like if you're insurance or whatever, start with your friend base in the center, then your colleagues, and then you go out, associates, and before you know it, you'll grow your base, because everybody knows someone who has like a real estate agent friend they can refer.
Right.
Right.
So it's all about your networking too and putting yourself out there. You know, maybe you belong to a car club, exotic, very expensive, maybe wine tasting. You know, put yourself in positions with rub elbows with people that have the means. If you want to do high-end or luxury or where you want to go, you need to put yourself out there in the community to be noticed. So that's what
Tony,
I tell people. Just come in with a plan.
Right.
Can you talk just a little bit about the difference between an agent and a broker and what made you choose to be a broker?
Well, everybody starts out as a salesperson, a licensed salesperson. And to get to the broker, it's the number of transactions that you have under your belt. You have to have a certain amount of activity, listings, dollar amount, and then at that point when you achieve that, you can continue your education and get your broker's license. And I just wanted to have my broker's license because I work underneath Corcoran's umbrella as an associate broker. But I also have a broker's license. If I stepped out on my own, I could be Tony Martin Real Estate at any time,
right,
my own company. So I just wanted to achieve that and become a broker at the highest level.
Okay. Great.
Awesome.
Good.
Very, very awesome. I'm trying to think. I had another question, but of course it split my head too. How do you get most of your clientele now? I mean, you have multitude of years, experience.
I think for me, it's word of mouth. Really, it is.
Okay.
When I sell something, it's very just sold. I think that I've just established a name in my community, in my neighborhood, and just through referencing, working with new development as well. In that arena, and one developer knows another developer, people refer you. So mine has become more of a referral business and, of course, repeat business because I have customers that I sold houses to, and then their life changes because life changes usually every 7 years. people moving
right.
in, or they're downsizing, they're, you know, upsizing, they're moving,
right.
you know, outside of New York, whatever. It just opens up opportunities. I know when I first started, I did a lot of rentals, and those rentals turned into sales later on. Because they remember
right.
when I came in and I found them tenants and, you know, wow, and you got me more than I anticipated, because a lot of people, they rent their home and they just have a price in their head. I'm just charging $1,500. I'm like, what? Like, in this market, you should be getting $2,500 for that apartment, you know, just
wow.
educating
right.
people.
Wow.
So, at this time, what we can do for, you know, our customers is just stay in touch, educate them, check on them, reach out to them, keep them abreast of what's going on in the real estate market. So when this does open up again, you're on their
You'll
mind.
You'll be forefront.
You're going to be, like, right there. So it's what you do in this downtime that's really going to make a difference when you come out of it. And like I said, I usually go into the office. I'm not one to work from home. I like being in the office because I get a lot of walk-ins too. People, like, sometimes people come in, you'll be amazed. Someone comes in, they walk in, they want to list a $3 million house. You just happen to be sitting in the office.
Right.
So, but I'm used to being in the office, you know, 8:30, leave in the evening. This is the first time I've worked at home. So for me, it's really something, like setting up my computer, my printer, and this, and scanning. And, well, if I don't have a scanner, I got to use PDF typewriter. It's just participating on more conference calls and Zoom meetings.
Right.
It's like an educational period for all of us.
Right.
And actually, it's a good time because I'm always running. So being able to just slow down gives you an opportunity to think, strategize, and reflect on your business. And I think in doing this, we're also learning different ways to do business, which is going to change when we get back out there. I think a lot of people are going to start to rely on these virtual tours. I think it's
yeah.
great because it saves you time from running around. It literally, 3D tour will walk you through a property. And that's great because so many times people come, they run out, they see it, oh, it just, I don't know, maybe it just didn't look the same. I don't know what kind of camera lens you were using. I just thought the backyard was bigger or whatever. It's great. I think that it will become the norm that we're going to do more of these 3D tours in the future. And people
yeah,
will see that. And it, yeah. And what's going to differentiate you is, like, maybe the level of your videos, you know, because everybody's going to start doing it, and then, well, this one is offering floor plans and 3D and dollhouse view, and this one is offering, you know, it's opening up a market for other people as well. So
right.
That's a good thing that's coming from this, and I think when we do get out of the state that we're in now, there's going to be a lot of pent-up real estate needs. A lot of people are going to really evaluate, after being in their homes, what they want. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity.
Have you ever seen property sold from a virtual tour in the past?
I can't speak for myself. I'm sure other agents with international clients,
right?
Exactly. They bought things sight unseen.
Okay.
No problem.
Yeah, so I have to say, Tony, I'm seeing the same thing, you know, on our end. You know, I thought we were going to be absolutely dead, and, you know, people are home, and now all of a sudden they need home offices because they used to have the office to go to, and they're working from home who knows how long, and it's like, oh, well, this desk I'm using isn't very good, or I don't have privacy, and I need a space, and people are calling me about their kitchens because it doesn't function, and you know, it was like great for that quick meal, run home from dinner, you know, run home from work, prepare dinner. And then all of a sudden it's like, this isn't a functioning kitchen, or, you know, my bathroom is really too small for who, you know, the amount of people living in our homes. So, and we've been doing a lot of, you know, Zoom calls now showing fabrics and stuff. So I agree with you. I think it's really going to be busy once this is done.
And are you doing, like, 3D renderings? Are you showing people, like, what their space could be? Like, how are you going about with the measurements to say, how are you doing that? I'm curious to know.
So we're pretty much, so we have the client taking a tape measure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, doing it that way so we can really
mm-hmm.
see the tape measure on through the phone or through the video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, you know, we're able to, you know, select certain pieces. We have them take a photograph of the space. And then we can, you know, with our renderings, we can insert that desk into the space and then
right.
have them double check the measurements of the desk against the space that they have. With the kitchens, it's a little bit trickier, but we're starting the renderings, and then once this is over, we can go in, double-check our measurements, and just make the quick adjustments.
Okay. 'Cause that's,
you know,
I,
if we have
I,
to change out a cabinet or, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then we're counting floor tiles or we're counting floorboards, so we know if it's like a 6-inch wood board, you know, there's only so many that can fit in the space. So we're getting creative. We're learning, and 3D renderings we're definitely doing. We're doing mood boards. So it's been an interesting time.
Yeah, I'm working with a designer. Oh, here I'm in the Hamptons, and mood boards and renderings, but we did the measurements beforehand. So it's really easy. This is a great time
right.
for people to look at their spaces and how they want to live in it, and they're spending so much time in it. So it is a good
right.
time. And capitalize on it.
Right. And like you said, it's a great time for investing.
I think so. If you have the money, you can do it, I would.
Right.
Especially for me, because I like fixer-uppers. I love a project. Doesn't
right.
matter. I just want the right price point. That's all.
Right. Yeah, that's what's important, because you can make it look anything you want.
You can make it look any way. And even something that's
yep.
not like a real hard, like, not just like a major reno, like new plumbing, new electrical. I mean, if it's a nice house and it's in need of some cosmetic upgrades, I don't see why not. If you were going to do a new kitchen, a new bath, whatever, I think
right.
I would look to buy something if it's at a price point that won't break the bank, and you also allocate that you're going to have a budget to actually do some renovation. You know, like if
right.
you had $750,000, I have $500 for the house and $250 for the reno, why not? You know what the house is. You drove in
right.
front of it. You take a Google tour. If you can really see inside it, I'm going to change the kitchen, the bath, and this, why not? I think it's a great time to buy. It's just how you are. It just depends on the person. Because I know, like,
right
now we have someone that put in an offer, and the only thing they request from this homeowner is that during the due diligence, at least allow one person, you know, in our, this husband and wife team, can we walk through your place, you know, before
right.
we go to closing. So
right.
some people are
doing
it.
Well, I'm going to thank you. And we have 6 minutes left, but maybe you want to tell people how to reach you.
Oh, you can reach me at tony.martin@corcoran.com, and you can call me at 718-288-7703.
Awesome. And Corcoran is a great company to work for, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and you love what you do, so that certainly comes across loud and clear. It's nice.
Never
I can hear the
back.
Passion in your voice.
Yeah, I never look back. So this is just a little bump in the road. I can't wait to get back whenever that is. But in the meantime, I'm doing the right things and the right activities to build up that funnel. So when we do get back in, believe me, there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. And I think
right.
that's in all businesses. I think that's in all businesses.
Right. And Tony, your office is in Brooklyn, correct?
Yeah, my office is in Brooklyn. I'm out of the Fort Greene office at 65 Lafayette Avenue.
Okay,
and
you sell real estate. You can do real estate transactions. And
I do
you
all
restricted?
Five boroughs. New York State.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, good. Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we have 5 minutes left. I don't know if we have time for any callers. Ted, you want to do your thing?
Well, I'd want to know some last thoughts, words of wisdom from Tony and your years. I'm going to ask you to combine your business and your real estate experience and give us some last thoughts and words of wisdom to go out with.
I think during this time, if you're a seller, I think I would use this time to get my house in order, as Lori said, decluttering, because you know when you get ready to show, it's light, it's cleanliness, it's smell, no clutter. I would take this time if you're going to go in the market to get yourself in order, and as a buyer, I think the interest rates are going to be there when we come out of this. Don't worry about it. The interest rates have been low for some time. I think I just, and if you're looking to buy, it's time to start getting your credit in order and just be ready when opportunity comes to seize that moment. So that's what it's all about. I mean, real estate, people always going to need a place to live. We're always moving. It's still the American dream. It's still the American dream. So it's out there. I would definitely, you got to be in it to win it.
And should sellers be, should they be prepared for a shock when, for one, you're going to have pent-up demand, right? You're going to have a lot of people selling at once and a bunch of buyers. So should sellers be prepared to negotiate more than they would like to?
We'll see when we come out. They may come out, it's business as usual, but I think I would have to set the expectation with our sellers. We don't, you know, unless you're trying to sell right now and you just have to go, or if somebody's going to do it virtual, you got to be willing to, there's only so high someone will go and
right.
only so low you will go. So you need to be realistic as well. You know, before all this happened, weren't we in a buyer's market? We were.
Right.
And things sell if it's priced right.
Right.
That's how that
right.
goes. You can't price right. anything wrong. It will, the market will speak, and it always does.
it
always does. So you may think your place is worth that, but the market will show you who is the boss. And that's how that goes.
And I know we're running out of time, but when you speak of market, it seems that the stock market may have factored in quite a few things. It seems to be stabilizing. So that may be good for everyone.
Yeah, and usually, historically, when the stock market is down, sales, people usually go into putting their money into real estate. It's just that we're at a real different time right now in
right.
terms of how we have to operate. So that's making it very challenging.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you for sharing so much knowledge with us, Tony. You're really brilliant in this. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Okay, then, guys. Be well.
All right.
All right.
Have a great
you do
night.
The same. And
if
thank
anyone
you for
needs
all the listeners.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lou. Go ahead.
If anyone needs Tony Martin's information, I put it on LGC Interiors Facebook page, so you can find her there. Thanks, Ted.
Great. So thank you, everyone, and everyone have a good evening. Thank you, Lori. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.